Parakeet. Quick Hakdama for this parak. This is the parak in which Esther is going to make her request. She's going to be Moisa Nefesh to appear before Achashverosh. Now, when we were kids and we were learning the story of Megillas Esther, typically we would probably be told that this is the moment, the big moment of truth, when Esther saves the day for Klal Yisrael. Ah, our heroine, Esther, she saves the Jewish people with her efforts, and kamash malon, that you have the right man at the right place, that's the ikker, right? Wrong. We're going to see that despite all the physical hishtadlus, all of that amounted to zero. In fact, it might have ended up being detrimental. What saved the day for Klal Yisrael? Only ruchnius, the constant tefillah. Esther Glad is credited for a Mesiris Nefesh, but the physical Mesiris, the time that she asked the king, that's not the ikar. It's the spiritual forces which were needed to counteract the spiritual gzeira. We're also going to see, mamish, throughout the next couple of prakim, the malachim play a very big role all over the place in the Megillah. Who brings these malachim? Stam malachim just stam show up at, you know, at the right time? Again, the Mesiris Nefesh of Esther, the continuous tefillah, the vigil of tefillah that Mordechai and all the Jews throughout the world are doing, those are bringing these malachim. Vahi bayom ha-shlishi, the third day of fasting, that is. Batil bash Esther malchus, because aldash malchus means ruach ha-kodesh, v'zoich ruach ha-kodesh, because of this fasting that they were all doing. Batamar v'chatzar beis ha-melech ha-pnimis. She is on the way, as we discussed yesterday, even though it's a known fact, anyone who tries to go to the king's inner chamber uninvited, it's a death sentence, automatic. But that's where she's headed. She's decided she's going to be Moisir Nefesh. Noichach beis ha-melech. I mean, there are two rooms here. There's the king's inner chamber, and there's the throne room. And you have the throne room where he meets the public, and off to the side there's a door to the king's, you know, private study or whatever. That's the Chatzar Beis HaMelech HaPnimis. She figures that that's where Achashverosh is going to be, so she goes in, and she's going to go straight to that door. However, V'amelech Yoshev al Kisei Malchus B'Beis HaMalchus Noichach Pesach HaBayis. The king wasn't in the Beis HaMalchus. He wasn't in the private study. He was on his throne, just outside where that is. So that resulted in the following situation. Esther, as we can imagine what she looks like, she's so shvach, she can barely keep her neck up, and she's heading toward the door with Achashverosh's inner chamber. And she ends up passing where Achashverosh is mamish sitting on his throne. So Achashverosh sees her, she doesn't see the king. Vayihi kirois ha-melech es Esther ha-malka, oimedes bechotzer, when the moment the king caught sight of Esther, she's in the chotzer, in that outer room where the throne is, almanos to go into the inner room. So we have to press the pause button here. The first reaction of Achashverosh, he was boiling angry. She has the audacity to go uninvited? What is her problem? And Nebuch, poor Achashverosh, we have to feel sorry for the guy. He has no luck with his wives. One wife, he orders her to come, she doesn't come. Another wife, he doesn't order to come, and boom, she comes. I mean, he's not getting things straight here. However, And Chazal say like this, that Esther, when she finally noticed Achashverosh, that he was angry, she fainted. There's the physical hashtadlus for you. The story's over pretty much at this point. She faints. So Chazal say, at the Oysa Shah, Nizdam Lo, Shloish Malachim, the first three Malachim of several, we're going to see throughout the story, come to the rescue. One of them lifts her head. She can't keep her head up straight. She's so shvach from the fasts. A second one is making her look attractive. You figure a woman after 3 days of fasting, she's not bathing, she's going to be all but attractive. Second one gives her a special chaim. And the third one takes Achashverosh's scepter and extends it, I think, when she is 60 amos to Esther. I mean, Achashverosh is, he's like probably wondering what's going on. You know, he was not going to grant her any special dispensation. But the third Malach extends the Sharvit Hazov, and Esther comes close to it. So Nasa Chein Beinov, Achashverosh, he buckles. He feels bad for her. He sees she's all shvach, and she's white like a ghost. Clearly, he figures out that she's going to try to ask him for something important. That's why she's Meisr Nefesh to go to the Chatzar HaPanimis. So Vayoshen Melech Lester, Shavit Azov HaShav Yodai, Vatikav Esther V'tigash Brosh HaSharvit, Vayom Allah HaMelech, Maluch Esther Malka. Ah, a moment of mercy for this otherwise merciless king. What can I do for you, my queen? What's the Lashon? Maloch. Maloch means for you personally. The word bakosh, the Gra explains, means a request you might have on behalf of others. I'll give you even half the kingdom if you ask for whatever you want. I'm so distressed to see you in such pain and agony. I'm prepared to do whatever you want. So Vatoimer Esther Imal Melech Toiv. Oh yes, Your Highness, if it pleases the king, what do I really, really want? Yavoi Hamelech v'Homon Hayoim El Hamishta Asher Asisi Lai. This is quite peculiar. You know what I want? I want you and Haman to come to a party that I'm arranging for you. So this is very strange. Two things here. One, a party. What's the business of a party? That this is her big request. And more perplexing, as Chazal asked, famous question, why in the world is she inviting Haman? So, in terms of why is she making a feast, Achashverosh figures out, Mistama, she wants to talk and ask for something important, but she wants to do it in the context of a feast, or it'll be a more conducive atmosphere, okay. But Haman, why is she inviting Haman? Because I'll give like about a dozen different terutzim. We'll just mention two of them. One, Esther knew quite well the strong bond between Achashverosh and Haman. One of the things she's going to have to try to accomplish is to deteriorate that trust between the two. So if she invites Haman, and Achashverosh is going to get in, Haman, you want something from me? Why is Haman coming? Is there something going on between the two of you? That way she's going to try to batter away at that trust between those two. But a second Teretz Chazal say is that Esther knew, like we keep saying, that it had to be continuous davening that would bring about Yeshua. The worst possible thing that could happen is if Klai Yisrael were to be Messiah Das from that line of thinking and then start to think, you know, really the physical Shtadlus is enough. We have Esther, Achoseinu, in the Malchus, she's the queen. Why do we have to daven so much for? Esther says to herself, really? Well, I'm Dafka, can invite Haman to the banquet. Imagine now what the Jews are saying when they hear about this. She's trying to save her own skin. She's probably delirious from all that fasting. She's going insane. She wants to invite the number one enemy of the Jews and try to strike a private deal with him. And Esther's willing to go through this. It's such a tremendous badge of shame that people are going to speak about the tzaddikas like this. She's willing to do it. Why? Because it's imperative they don't stop davening. But now that they think of this, they for sure won't stop davening. Then there's a Chovis HaVavis that says, also an important akuda, B'tochen works most when your line of thinking is, Hashem, you are the only one I could possibly turn to. No one else could save me except you. But once you start thinking that, really, this, I could rely on this, I could rely on that, my bank book, my stock market, whatever it is, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, yes, so let them help you. Let those gods that you trusted in, right? Let them help you. So Esther realizes that they have to put their focus only on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why she seemingly makes herself into a turncoat and allies herself with Haman. That's what she wanted everyone to think, so that they'll only turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to anyone else. Vayomer Melech Maru Haman, quickly go fetch Haman Lasis et Var Esther. Why quickly? Because again, Ahasuerus is so taken by Esther's Mesiras Nefesh, and he knows that Esther's going to ask from him something important at the Suda. So the quicker we can get to that point, then the quicker I can alleviate Esther's suffering. So Haman, quick, don't I don't want you being ma'akif here. Get him here quickly. So at the feast, Ahasuerus says, "Mashelo sechri nasin lach." Again, what's your personal favor, let it be done for you. What is your favor that you might ask on behalf of others? Oh, the big moment. Esther. No. Haman. He wants to kill us. We learn a thing or two from Esther about how to present a request. You butter up the king. No, you have to. And this is behind what Chazal tell us. This is behind what that which we have the first three brachos in Shemoneh Esrei. You have to be mesad shmochoi shalkadosh baruch before you make your personal requests. So she builds it up. If it's good for you, if I'm good to you, etc. What do I want? Yavoi hamelech l'mon ela mishdesh yeshalahem. I want you and Haman to come again. Let's do it again. We had such a great time here. Let's make a second Suda, and tomorrow I'll do as you request. She's hinting here too that she'll finally divulge her personal background here. Now, what is Esther up to though? Why a second feast? The answer is Esther knows that all this physical shtadlus is baba maises. The ikar is the Ruchnius, and whether or not a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be Mavatel Gzeira. So how did she know? She needed a sign. That's what she was looking for. A sign from a Kodesh Baruch Hu that he was going to Taka be Mavatel Gzeira. Till then, she's not going to make any requests. She'll make Sudas from now, for a month, I don't care, until I get the sign. As Hashem, as we'll see in the next parak, she'll have her sign loud and clear. With a Haman taking Mordechai around town, that will be the sign that she needs to finally make a request by the second Suda. Now, Vayetzi Haman Bayoimo Samech V'Toyv Lev. Another pshat they want to say, she wants Haman to be getting to such a state of euphoria. Second time I'm being personally invited by Esther to the banquet, her personal banquet with the king, because we have a pasuk lifnei Shever Ga'oin. Before one's downfall, he has a moment of pride. She wanted that to be Mekuyim and Haman. He would have such a state of euphoria that even the queen loves him, and that way, that will help precipitate his downfall. So Vayetz Haman Bayomo Samech V'Toyv Lev, and Taka Haman goes out. He's ecstatic until V'Chirois Haman Es Mordechai B'Shar HaMelech V'Loi Kam V'Loi Zah Mimenu by Molly Haman and Mordechai Chemo. Haman's good day was spoiled. He sees one Jew who still doesn't want to bow to him. So there are two aspects to why Haman is getting angry. One, Haman knew all along that there was some kind of kesher between Esther and Mordechai. Mordechai had raised Esther, that everyone knew. That was Mordechai's privilege in being in the Shar Melech, like we had said. But Mordechai, I would expect you to capitulate to me and show some submissiveness. Why? Because clearly Esther doesn't love you anymore. She's not inviting you to this suda of Ahasuerus. She invited me. She apparently likes me. She doesn't like you anymore. So why are you still being stubborn? But more than that, we already saw that Mordechai, because he's involved with his sock vapor, he can't be in the Shar Melech. If so, why is Memes Haman so angry that Mordechai is not bowing? The gzeirah that everyone has to bow to him was only Chal and Shar HaMelech, as we saw in the beginning of Perek Gimel. The answer is, there's another diuk here. V'loi kam v'loi zah mimenu. Meaning, Avadai Mordechai didn't bow down. But when Haman passed Mordechai on the streets, Mordechai made himself as if, you know, I'm not even budging to acknowledge your presence. Two people pass each other in the streets, you know, you nod to him. If you're not on the best turn, you might nod to him, you know, just to acknowledge the other guy's presence. Basif, derech eretz, you know. Mordechai would mamish, here's Haman walking down the street. Mordechai was like a statue. And Haman staring at Mordechai, if you're not even acknowledging my presence here, Mordechai's. So that's why you smell the Haman on Mordechai Chemor. Haman couldn't take that. That was such a blow to his ego. But he held it in for the time being. He came home. Nebuch, this poor broken man, he has everything in the world. Wealth, children, power, prestige, you name it. He's got it. But this one Jew is not bowing down to him. This is unbelievable what we've learned from that aspect. He calls together his friends and his wife Zeresh. And as all Bala Gaiva will do when they had a crushing blow to their ego, they have to build themselves up again. He gives himself, I'm the greatest speech. Look how important I am. Look how many kids I have. This called Shigilai Melech, and look at the king raising my status, promoting me. This Asher Nisoi, Alasarim Yabdiya Melech. He promoted me over all of his other Sarim. By Omer Haman, to cap it all off, Afloivi Esther Malkam Melech Amishta Shiro Sosakim I see. Esther only invited me to this private party of hers with a king. Now these next five words should blow your mind away, Rabbi say. V'chol ze einenu shoyveli. It's all worthless. Ad kedei kach, he says these words. V'chol eis asher ani roya smordechai yudi yosh b'shar melech. A Baal Gaiva expects perfection in Olam Hazeh. And because of that, one drop of thing doesn't go his way, and he mamish goes mishuga. This is unbelievable, Rabbi. So what we learn from this. So the timer lies there, Shishta v'chaloyav of Yasu Eitz Gavoya Chamishim Amo. Remember that Haman had given Achashverosh advice way back in the first parak that you have to make a gzera, wives have to be submissive, they have mechuyev to show submission to their husbands. So Zeresh accordingly has to say, Yasu, let it be done for you. Not you, Haman, are going to make the tree yourself. Let it be done. Make yourself a tree 50 amos high. Why 50 amos high? Because Zeresh was a brilliant woman. She applied a little mathematics, trigonometry, and she figured out that if it's 50 amos tall, it will be visible from the king's window. Why was that important? Because you go and tell the king, I want to hang Mordechai. So you never know, the king might delay. You say, it's a good idea, yeah, let me think about it. But if you show him that the gal's all ready, then you have a better chance at getting him to say, okay, go ahead with it. Fine, you did it ready. So Zeresh, that was a great idea. And guess what? You just killed your own husband. Shtayach. As we'll see later, that it worked so well, that pumped at the right time, Harvina is going to be able to show the king, see that? The tree? And he's going to be able to get hum and hung. We'll see you later, Bez Hashem. Uva boiker, emor la melech. In the morning, first thing in the morning, we'll speak more about this in the next parak. You have to go early, be the first one there to see the king, and you'll make your speech, your anti-Mordechai speech, the Yisloos Mordechai love, and you'll get Mordechai hung. What a nachas ruach that will be, Haman, that your worst enemy will be dead. You'll be able to go a happy man to the second Suda. In fact, you'll also be able to see Mordechai's body swaying in the wind from the window, and you'll be able to drink your wine with more geschmack. And Haman made this tree. We're going to start the next part tomorrow, but I must tell you the following medrash, which helps tie things together. Haman, the moment he makes this eitz, he goes out onto the street. It's late at night, and he's looking for Mordechai. It's a medrash. Why is he looking for Mordechai? Haman is such an evil person. He wants to gloat over the fact Mordechai You don't, might not realize it, but you only have a couple of hours left to live. So he asks around, where's Mordechai? He's told he's in this Beis Medrash. He walks in, so there's a huge Beis Medrash with Mordechai and 22,000 tinoikas shel Beis Rabban. 22,000 children are davening, learning. They're also fasting. Even the children are fasting these 3 days. And Haman arrogantly demands, what's going on here? What are these children doing? And Mordechai tells him, these children are working to be mevatel your gzeira. You couldn't think of a better thing to get Haman angrier. Haman says, really? He orders immediately 22,000 sets of chains brought. And they're brought. And he shackles every single child to their desk. And he says, Mordechai, after I deal with you, or before I deal with you tomorrow morning, I'm going to slaughter all of these children. And he storms out. Word of this spread like wildfire throughout the city of Shushan. The mothers of these kinderlach, they come quickly to the Beis Medrash to see their children for the what they think is the last time. And each one brings with her some warm food. Why? She tells her child, look, I accept upon myself, Avram was willing to be to make an Akedah. I'm willing to give you up al Kiddush Hashem. But do me a favor, I want you to eat something, break your fast, because you're so shvach from the fast that for all we know you'll die before you even have a chance to be die al Kiddush Hashem. You hear what a B'nai Yisrael are? Break this, just you'll have the koyach that you'll be able to live enough time to die al Kiddush Hashem. So, the children, each one makes a shvur in the name of our Rebbe Mordechai, we're not going to taste any food. Puntakert, we dafka want to die with our in a state of utmost tahara. At this very moment, now you might remember we discussed a part of this medrash earlier that Eliyahu HaNavi had gone to Moshe Rabbeinu to ask him to intercede on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So Moshe said, go tell Mordechai that they have to do intense davening, and when the right time comes, then I'll be able to intercede. That right time is right here. In Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what is the sound of sheep and goats that I hear? Moshe Rabbeinu, who had been standing by the Kisei HaKavod, he says that was his moment that he was waiting for. Ribbono Shel Olam, those aren't goats and sheep. Those are kinderlach of Amcha Yisrael, who are in the middle of intense fasting, and tomorrow morning, the Rosh Haman is going to slaughter them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, is that so? He immediately orders the gzeirah brought to him, and he tears it up immediately into 1,000 pieces. At that very moment, Achashverosh's sleep is disturbed. Beautiful Medrash Rabbeisu. Once again, we see the koyach of Torah and Tefillah that saved the day. And now we understand why earlier, Haman, with the incident with Mordechai and the three children, and Haman says, yeah, I'm going to kill those kids first. It said that, then Haman knew instinctively that these children would be his undoing. That's what we see from this continuation of this Medrash. Bez Hashem will see how Haman finally meets his end in Bez Hashem, the next Prakim.